Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Experiencing and re-experiencing the Civil War is a national ritual in the United States. You know the story of the reenactors
who reenact actual battles. All over the country. Yeah.
You know, 20 years ago, it seems like it couldn't have been that long ago. Public television viewers, and then really all of the nation.
20 years ago?
20
really?
Years ago. The Ken Burns documentary looking at the Civil War in a way, and it's sort of a film technique that really you hadn't seen before. Stills, words from the time, sort of brought back to life. Here's a sort of a sample of from the Ken Burns documentary.
A week before the Battle of Bull Run, Sullivan Ballou, a major in the 2nd Rhode Island Volunteers, wrote home to his wife in Smithfield.
July the 14th, 1861, Washington, D.C. Dear Sarah, the indications are very strong.
Real letters, but voices of contemporary times. That's the late John Chancellor who narrated most of the Ken Burns series. It was an attempt to look at history, immerse ourselves in history using the materials of the time. The New York Times, our partner, the New York Times, is doing a fascinating project that it seems to me really revisits, in a certain sense, the Ken Burns initiative of 20 years ago, but in a very, very different way. It's called Disunion. Jamie Malinowski joins us, lead writer of the Disunion blog. And in the New York Times, you can go to the Disunion site, the Opinionator site at the New York Times online version, and see a blog from the Civil War as though it's taking place, unfolding in real time right now. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. And I have to say, this is a fascinating, it seems to me, a way of taking historical materials, but using them to find an authentic contemporary voice of a national tragedy that in many ways echoes are still with us.
You know, I think one of the ways we tend to appreciate history in big block letters, you know, and by looking at the big momentous turning point events and personalities, when in fact we look at our own contemporary politics as unfolding with lots and lots of minutiae coming down that we sort through as though we're on an assembly belt and try to make sense of. And I thought that the Civil War, particularly this intense political period between Lincoln's election and when Fort Sumter is finally fired upon, was just so rich with material that it made sense to kind of try to make an effort to appreciate it as though the way contemporary people did.
Well, the November 24th, 1860 entry talks about Winslow Homer, who did an engraving for Harper's Weekly, a picture of the two great classes of society. You're describing the people on one side of the picture who have more dinners than appetite, and on the right, those who have more appetite than dinners, really referring to very difficult economic times that preceded the war. How do you blog something like that?
Thank goodness we have great historians who have unearthed a great amount of material, but it's a matter of putting it in context and trying to focus on the minute developments and put a hyper attention on that, and it's very rewarding. There's just so much detail, and the passions were running so high that people from every walk of life were involving themselves in making these events happen.
Can you imagine an internet version, or say a Twitter version of say the conflict between General McClellan, who didn't have much love for Abraham Lincoln, the president, in the middle of the war? This would be some years in the future now of your blog, but, you know, tweeting about Lincoln, or a YouTube video from Robert E. Lee, or
a Rolling Stone cover.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, exactly right. The contemporary equivalents did exist. There were all those letters that were sent back and forth between people, and a lot of those kinds of there were a lot of conspiracies, literally conspiracies in the South, to how are we going to secede, how are we going to pull out together and work together to do this. So they did use the media that they had available, but the human nature remains the same and the impulses remain the same.
You know, what Ken Burns certainly discovered, and I don't know if he fully anticipated, that there was this hunger to re-experience this narrative of the Civil War. Are you seeing that in responses to this blog online?
We do get tremendous response online, and the thing that's gratifying to me is that I think this period that we're looking at so intensely, this pre-war period, is really rich. I think it's the most intensely political period in American history, and people don't follow it that closely because we look at it through the reverse end of the telescope, and the events seem foreordained, when in fact they were anything but. You know, you had 15 slaveholding states, and each one had to make a decision of whether to secede or not. And there were strong pro-union forces in each. And up north, we think of the North as being unified, but in fact, there were a lot of interests who wanted to compromise, as well as abolitionist interests who were saying to the South, hey, go ahead, secede. We're better off without you. So it was this roiling, emotional, argumentative period.
And you can imagine it in the tone of Salon.com or Politico. Here's an entry from Halloween, 1860. Earlier this year, when Abraham Lincoln, the Illini lawyer, looked at the electoral map, he made a stunning discovery. If he could win 16 of the 18 northern states, plus the western states of California and Oregon, he'd have enough votes in the Electoral College to win the presidency. Turned out that way. Sounds like Chris Matthews speaking there.
Very much that kind of attitude. We sit here and watch politics today, and we see the name Shirley Sherrod and Christine O'Donnell, and we argue about them and debate about them and interpret them, and then, you know, a month later they're gone. But the same things were happening then. Minor figures were appearing and holding a great deal of significance to the people at the time.
And you make a great point that there was more going on than just the war back in the 1860s.
Oh, all the time. I mean, one of the things that's coming up is an amazing scandal involving the Secretary of War, which was, a big bribery graft scandal. So you kind of, and that just gets obliterated in time, but it was enormous.
And that resulted in the War Claims, the False Claims Act, I believe, that Lincoln was responsible for, that is still in place today and rewards people who report Medicare fraud.
Right. Of course, we could use more false claims protection, I guess, in the light of recent events, but that's another topic for another time.
Let's stay safely back in the Civil War, shall we? Jamie Malinowski is the lead writer of the Disunion blog for our partner, The New York Times. Have a good Thanksgiving back there in the 1860s, Jamie.
Thank you.